I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Dum-de-Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I am the keen PA, that is Roy Field Brown, and with me I have the P45, that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Elizabeth's staffing problems, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dum-de-Dum is the live one from Birmingham, which was conducted by our wonderful Andrew. Now, Lucy, if any of our listeners would like to corral 200 of their best buddies into maybe a town hall to do a dum-de-dum or even become a caller-inner, how can they do that?
If you would like to leave us your thoughts, a dum-de-dum or a plot prediction, or use the word dramaturge, leave us a message on SpeakPipe.
Hey, Loose, dum-de-dum. Loose,
yes.
Loose.
Yes.
Guess what I forgot to do?
What? Oh!
All right. Let's start this whole thing again, considering we're only like 2 minutes in.
This podcast is a Roy Field Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know. It's a proper dum-de-dum with the sheep at the end, which I will conduct you for as well. So, and I know quite a few singers, so we'll start sort of on a da on there, okay? After four. Three, four.
This is Dum-de-Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is set on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the keen PA, that is Roy Field Brown, and with me I have the P45, that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Elizabeth's staffing problems, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dum-de-Dum, now I've remembered to put it in, is the live one from Birmingham. Now, Luce, if any of our listeners have like 200 or so spare friends and they want to maybe nip to the nearest town hall to do a dum-de-dum or even become a caller-inner, how can they do that?
If you would like to leave us your thoughts, a dum-de-dum or a plot prediction, or use the word dramaturg, leave us a message on SpeakPipe via dum-de-dum.com or call us on 02033105. No, that's wrong. 02030313105. This week, we need to thank Shambridge for her amazing voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, Cosmo for his episode roundups, and to Derek for learning the back bedroom. Derek got into trouble at fireworks night as he was in charge of lighting them, and he caught a glimpse of Auntie Cardboard's enormous bangers and went off too soon.
That genuinely made me properly titter this week. I was going to say something before you like cracked me up with that gag, and then I've clean forgotten. So well done for that. So I'd best to swiftly move on and tell the good listeners who we have on the show this week. And we have calls from Emma, Julie, Mary, and our Andrew Horn. But first, before the caller inner is, it's top of the shop, best bit of the show. It's our Juicy Loose and a week in Ambridge.
Christmas works in reverse in Ambridge. If you are really, really naughty, you get a present. Freddie dealt drugs and got biscuits, cakes and trips to the aquarium. Ben went joyriding and got given a puppy. To be fair, he does sound old enough to drive. He actually sounds old enough to be the BBC senior defence correspondent. But anyway, I was very excited to hear one of the puppies in the running was called Lucy. They described it, obviously, as good-looking and intelligent. Unfortunately, Ben made the wrong choice and ended up with some blotchy cretin called Bess, so she'll be rubbish, I'm calling it now. We had a series of scenes this week in which someone is urgently trying to tell someone something and someone else just talks over them. This does not happen in real life. Even me and my mum and my sister, who all talk a lot, never do it. One of us just says, shut up, listen. And the other one says, oh, sorry, what? I don't even understand how it works to the scriptwriter's advantage, but it makes me want to throw things at the radio, even more than normal, I mean. Lexi is back and doing everything she can to avoid Roy, it seems. No pressure, he said, picking her up from the airport in nothing but a strategically placed balloon that said, please have sex with me, and drove her home. She managed to break away and run off, but he followed her. She went to the pub to try and shake him off, then went home and shouted, I'm having an early night and I'm putting a chair under the door, leaving poor Roy gazing sadly at his shriveled Bonitza. Neil's repertoire of extraordinary noises has increased hugely now he's done his back in. Susan hid his phone under some tea towels in an effort to stop him moving about and worrying about work, so instead he just moved about looking for his bloody phone. He kept hearing a buzzing noise, but presumed it was just Susan's appliance, as with his bad back, Chili's been off the menu for a while. He turned the phone back on to hear 342 messages from disgruntled Barrow employees complaining about Hannah's sensitive management style and threatening legal action. He was very anxious about missing his bell ringing duties and didn't feel Chris would be up to it. It's too much stress for such a difficult occasion, he said, as if he expected Chris to accidentally start ringing the Macarena on Remembrance Sunday. Natasha, there's lovely look you popped down from Torchwood to have a look at Tom's nuts and to tell him and Tony that Bridge Farm was still rubbish, but less rubbish than it was before. Thank you, Natasha. Love you, said Tom. We got a bit of backstory on Natasha, lining her up as being in the market for Tom's meat products, as well as on Hannah, whose father was a bit sausagey himself, apparently smelling of smoke and ketchup. Talking of Hannah, her cloven hoof has now started showing. She was invited to the Nuffield presentation, which is talked of in awed tones in Ambridge as if it was the Oscars. There's wine and dresses and it's not soup, said Tony excitedly. Well, I don't want to go to your stupid school prize giving, Tom, said Hannah spitefully, until she found out that Natasha There's Lovely was, and then she decided she might, until Tom said, actually, no, you're right, you're awful and you'll probably punch my mum or something. Over at Lower Loxley, Geraldine handed in her notice. Which is a shame, because I'd only just started recognising her voice. It didn't go well. I'm fed up with working for you, you ungrateful lunatic, said Geraldine. Huh? Said Elizabeth, lifting her head off the desk with a post-it note stuck to her face. It's fine, though. She'll get Titcomb to do all the bookings, as he has such a lovely telephone manner, and Bert Fry can manage all the events. Titcomb and Fry. If that doesn't get its own series on ITV2 after Midsummer Murders, I don't know what will. Finally, people have stopped going to the ball. I did wonder when they'd catch on. Let's go to the pub where there's two bar staff who have usually had a massive row just before opening time. There's only one brand of real ale. It's usually decorated as if they're expecting a six-year-old's birthday party. There's a man in a cravat working on some spreadsheets about crumble toppings in the corner and a fat man popping crisp bags sat at the bar. The barman gives you a running commentary of everything that's happening through a megaphone, and every time the door opens, it's a member of the Archer family carrying a suitcase and crying. There's a bar upstairs that reeks of damp and an elderly man in yellowing wife front who shouts everyone's name in full when they walk in. The chef's just been released from prison. He can only cook sandwiches and he has an imaginary girlfriend called Beverly Drains. They sell gin named after a dead dog. And if, when you decide to clear off, walk home quickly because there's a good chance one of the bar staff will mow you down and leave you in a ditch. And they wonder why rural pubs are closing. The end.
You know what, Lucy?
What?
That was so much better than last week. You know, what I found in this week, you had some good social commentary. And then to like tie it all up with, you know, the demise of the rural pub, I thought was a masterstroke. You had social commentary, gags, and it was just so much tighter than last week. Well done. Okay. Well done you.
Thank you very
well done
much.
You.
Thank
well
you.
Done you. Now, Joe Grundy applying to work behind the bar.
Yes, that's just rubbish, isn't it?
Yes, it is rubbish.
Yes.
So we'll say no more on that. We'll say no more on that. Now, before we started Dum-de-Dum and I cocked up the intro by just launching into the show without any kind of like, you know, without the Dum-de-Dum or anything like that, we both basically said, and not for the first time, but nothing happened in the Archers last week. So how the heck are we going to fill 40-odd minutes loose?
With the callers, I hope.
There's only four of them, and they don't add up to 40 minutes worth of content.
We'll think of something.
Susan's phone. Neil's phone.
Well.
Right, yeah, smashing. Yeah, move on from that.
There was a lot of moments this week for me.
Mm.
Firstly,
yes.
Hannah can't dock people's pay because if they've actually missed, like, if they're being paid by the hour, she can dock their pay because they didn't work an hour that they said that they had worked. If they're contracted, she can't just take money off their wages. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. There also has to be someone at Barrow that's in between. It can't just be, you know, the general manager organising everything, even rotas and, you know, there's got to be some, for a thing like that, she's not following any HR protocol at all. So then they'll end up with some constructive dismissal thing. What else was weird? The whole Natasha saying, he should have used wood chips. I'm just telling you what I did. That just seemed really out of character. I know we don't properly know about her character yet, but it just didn't seem very professional, really. Just rational. She'd just say, oh, okay, you know, I don't think she'd care that much, really.
Well, I suppose, were we supposed to read into this that she is somewhat of a detail person and she's a little bit nerdish, that she'd gone straight into the weeds, and Tony kind of slightly has a measure, didn't he, you know, that he says, well, actually Tom isn't just a bit of a burk, he has been working on the farm all his life, so he does have a little bit of an idea. And that's the first time that we've seen any kind of check of her intellectually, professionally, wasn't it? You know, Tony's been like, you know, you think you're all that, but you might not necessarily be all that.
Yeah.
Which I just thought,
I really liked the Geraldine and Elizabeth stuff.
Oh, I just thought that was, there were two confrontations, which I thought were brilliant. David and Ben, when David susses out that Ben had to enjoy riding and he keeps on asking the same question.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you one more time.
You know, for Ben to go, nope, daddy's Ben. Yep. I'm asking one more. Which, you know, as a parent and just as a child, we've all been you know, either side of that conversation.
No, okay, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I did. Yes.
But the whole unravelling of Geraldine with her just getting totally frustrated, feeling overworked, underappreciated, and just managing the whole Lowlocksley enterprise. That conversation, I just thought was brilliant, and in a very understated way. You know, I just thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So, Q Lily Wen, Lucy.
Ooh. Well, I don't know, because if you look at the Twitters, there's various hypotheses going around, one of which is Oliver is a shoo-in to take over, to jointly run Lower Loxley and Gay Grables.
Because he has been sniffing around, hasn't he? Mm.
Roy might come back and help out at, because up until now, Roy has pretended that Lower Loxley doesn't exist and Elizabeth has pretended that Roy doesn't exist, and this is the first time we've actually had them in the same scene together for ages. And usually that heralds a thing. Someone else said Lexi. Why doesn't Lexi help out at Lower Loxley? Lower Lexi, we could call it. Eh?
Lexley Loxley. But there was a moment with the whole Halloween debacle.
Yeah.
And Roy did say Elizabeth Parditer, you know, gave her a full kind of like title whilst kind of slagging her off, you know, saying that it wasn't organised somebody. I thought, oh, you know, he really has moved on, hasn't he, emotionally, type of thing. Like, he didn't run to her side and say, well, actually he did a little, didn't he?
Well, anyway, he said he was trying to help, and I do genuinely think he was.
No, he was. He was.
Made that comment to the local paper.
Mm. But Elizabeth's just two in one, really.
Yeah.
So we're having full on breakdown mode here.
She did
really,
sound completely like a woman on the edge, didn't she?
Yeah.
She really did.
Yeah.
She didn't sound normal at all. It was quite horrible to hear.
Yeah, a bit of Elizabeth the zombie. Mm. So yeah. And people are starting to notice, because even Ruth has noticed now, hasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the whole kind of obsessing thing. Right. Now, Hannah the bitch.
She started to remind me of that Little Britain sketch where she said...
What, she's the only gay in the village?
No. When she said... When it's Matt Lucas, he's being a grieving widow, and he says... his neighbour is in, who's David Walliams, and says, "Would you like a cup of tea?" Oh, he loved tea. He'd always have tea at this time of year.
Yeah, you're completely right.
And then Matt Lucas goes, "Yes." And he said, "Oh, he always said yes when he wanted to reply in the affirmative." And, and then David goes, "Oh, it's nice to see she's not wrenching Freddie into every single conversation like she was." And I thought, what? She's just spent an entire conversation in exactly that. What are you talking about, David?
Yeah, no. Ben doesn't like to go out with a coat on. Yeah. Neither did my jailbird of a son. Yes. Yeah. Well spotted, Freeman, as always.
I did think as well that for once, I think Ruth had identified, so, you know, considering she takes sod all notice of her children most of the time, apart from Pip, she did seem to have sort of, I think she was spot on with her analysis of what was happening with Ben and saying, look, he just hasn't got a place. He hasn't got a role. He doesn't feel any kind of commitment to the farm because that's all we talk about, you know, and he doesn't say a word about it. That's because he hasn't spoken for 16 years. But, you know, I thought she was absolutely dead right. But I thought the conversation between Ben and David, the kind of the matey conversation, was a bit forced. But then it's really difficult to write that stuff and sound authentic. So
yeah, and also... It was a little bit too neat and pat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You've gone from, we haven't heard of him for 16 years.
Yeah.
He's not a reluctant joyrider, but he was the more responsible out there, wasn't he? He was a bit like saying, you really shouldn't do this, but okay, I'll go along and do it. And then within two twos, he's now got a place on the farm. He's training Bess, the sheepdog, and him and his dad have made up, you know, all in the space of what, like 5 days?
Yeah.
You know, they should have at least dragged this out for a few months so we got some kind of pathos and agonising. We had one bedroom scene with David in half dim, isn't he? He can't see the nose on his face, that man. You know. Oh, no, so by the way, folks, just whilst we're talking about David Archer, there is a Dumbledore
After we've extra. Just been really rude about him.
Well, as the character, not the actor. You know, the actor just delivers his lines, doesn't he? He can't help how he's written. So there is a Dumb Dum extra. So if you are a Patreon supporter, you would have got an email from me, I think on Friday, giving you the link to our Tim Bentinck, talking about everything but the Archers, basically. And it was rather interesting. I tell you what, Luce.
What?
I know what you're going to say. Have you listened to it? But I know what you're going to say.
No, I haven't listened to it.
He does a very good multicultural English accent halfway through, talking about fam and ends. You get me, right?
Really?
Totally hilarious. Totally. Yeah. So he talks about him voicing computer games and how he was told, okay, so can we have a multicultural English, please? And, you know, bear in mind, this man is actually a member of the aristocracy.
Yeah.
You know, a proper lord or duke or something for another, something, you know, highfalutin, and he dropped it so well. And Ruth was like, you get me. 2 minutes, it's a tour de force. So if you want any of that interview, Lucy, you skip through to about 5 minutes in. He's rather brilliant, brilliant. And then he tells a very touching story about Mind the Gap, because he's the voice of Mind the Gap on the Piccadilly line, which I didn't know. I didn't know
I
that
did
at all.
Know that. Mm.
You did?
Mm. It was one of my, I did an Archer's pub quiz and it was one of my questions.
But he alternates with the lady. Yes. And a very touching story, which I won't spoil now for people that have bothered to subscribe via Patreon. You can go listen to it and then it's rather good. Just whilst you're at it, touching time for me and for half the planet yesterday because Stan Lee died.
Yes. Did you see somebody just tweeted, bloody Thanos?
That's very good. Yeah, so, right. So what's up with Alexi? Why don't you want Roy?
Well, she's either pregnant, she's menopausal and feeling a bit icky.
She's too young to be menopausal.
Yeah, you can be perimenopausal, but I think she is young. And she mentioned her age this week, I think, didn't she? Which is,
did she?
I think Emma's pregnant. Emma's going to give the child to Adam and Ian.
Oh, stop it now. Stop it.
She's going to use that money for the deposit. Bloody deposit, and then she can shut up about it. And Lexi's, my girls will come home with me. Vianetta and the other one. Kerry Bogus started calling her Vianetta, and she said the other one's called Mivy, which made me laugh. I think also when she keeps talking about my girls, my female friends call their girls or their boobs, you see. They're saying, I've got to get the girls. So when she keeps talking about my girls, it gives me a moment to think, what? Oh, sorry. It's okay. Yes, your daughters. Yes. Yes, but I think we are set for an appearance of my girls. Which is
March
ironic
29th.
With Brexit. Everyone else is sodding off and they're coming here. But anyway.
Well, you hope they're coming here. You think. Anyway, I tell you what. Enough of us chatting and trying to fill dead air. All right. Why don't we have some caller interviews?
Yes.
All right. Cool.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
All right. Then first, I think considering we're about to sever all ties with Europe, why don't we go to Europe? Because after, yeah, I tell you what, Lucy, after March 29th, we can't have calls from Europe anymore.
No,
exactly. No deal Brexit.
Well, listen,
phone
possibly.
Lines will not work.
They won't get Radio 4 either, probably.
Yeah.
Well, they probably won't if they're on BBC Sounds.
Sorry, what was that, my dear?
I was muttering about BBC Sounds and how shite it is, but I shall stop. Really? Carry on.
Okay, all right. So, considering, as we said, that after March 29th, we can't have any more calls from Germany because it'll be all quoted or whatever. It's Emma from Germany.
Hello, ihr beide. Here is Emma. In case you didn't know, that's hello, you two. This is Emma in German. I'm also exploding kittens on the Twitters if you're interested in that. I'm a first-time caller in Europe. I suppose I'd better give you my credentials. I haven't been listening to the Archers for very long. In fact, probably about a year, which means that the first storyline I heard was Ian and Adam discussing getting a surrogate. So I suppose that makes me an Ian or maybe an unborn baby. I don't know. The problem I have with phoning in and why I've not done it before is I work shifts, so I usually don't listen to the omnibus until after Dumpty Dum has been released, which is kind of bad. I've got a plot prediction for you. I think Lee is going to be a friend of Rob, and we're actually going to find out that he's there to trick Helen following the awkward touching that happened in karate a few weeks ago. I think then Freddie will come to her rescue and save her, having been recently released from prison. A bit obscure, I know, but you never know with the Archers. Anyway, I love the podcast. Good luck going forward. Thanks a lot. Bye.
That call started off so well, apart from some procedural snafus to do with her credentials. Now, Lucy, just before we go into the meat and potatoes of that.
Hang on a second. Hang on a minute.
All right, I'm hanging.
Hello. It's all right. We can edit this out. How did your exam go? It was okay?
Yeah, the medicine bit was good, kind of. Well, it was decent.
Decent.
And the Cold War bit, the first The first question wasn't good. But and the last question was the same question I did with Dad.
No.
Yes, I
really?
Got one of it.
Oh, excellent. Well done. What's tomorrow? English Lit Computing. Okay. Well, I can test you on English Lit if you like, or help you or whatever.
Yeah.
Later. All right. Well done. Yeah. Thanks for the water. Sorry.
No, that was all rather lovely.
You can leave that in if you like. I don't know if people...
Yeah, no. People love like all that stuff. So what was I saying? Yeah, so apart from... the snafu of the credentials. Now, I'm going to say this one more time. Now, I know that Cosmo has posted this on the homepage of www.com. Now, the only way to call yourself a character actually works is you can't say you're an Ian if Ian's been in it like for like 15 years, as Ian.
But she said I'm an unborn child.
No, she says I'm an Ian Orr. Right. So I'm just making the clear distinction. It's got to be... a major character that you can remember coming into the soap. So I would actually say if it's Ian and Adam discussing surrogacy, she's a Lexi. Lexi's been in it for approximately a year.
Right.
She's the major character.
No, I always say I'm Elizabeth and I'm not. I'm a Cameron Fraser.
Exactly.
Because
if you're an Elizabeth...
How long have we been doing this?
Well, yeah, like 4.5 years. If you're an Elizabeth, that means you were listening to it in like 1968 or something.
Yes, before I was born.
Exactly. So please, people, let's get this straight, right? It's the character that you can remember making an entrance into the soap. Oh,
yes.
Sorry, docudrama. Oh, God.
Yes.
Sorry. Now... let's get into this bonkers prediction. Oh, and the way, yeah, it's bonkers. Is that our Emma dealt with? It's just bonkers. Though, thank you for your contribution, our German friend.
Dankeschön.
Yeah.
Yes. For die Blumen, etc.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So you have Julie from Pickering now. Was that your silence an affirmative silence?
Yes,
right,
sorry.
Cool. Can I just say, Julie, next time you call in, because I am currently in Toronto, there is a Pickering about 30 miles from where I am, and I'm not sure that you're Pickering in Ontario or Pickering somewhere in the UK. So the next time you call in, can you just make that clear? Because I always think you're just up the road on the BART train. Sorry, on the GO train. Sorry, BART is the Bay Area. You're on the GO train. Just let me know, and then I'll stop worrying. Okay.
Hello, Julie from Pickering here. Regarding last week's episode of Dumpty Dum, which I was listening to in my car, travelling to a works meeting, I'd just like to ask all the other Dumpty Dummers out there, how many of you were, like me, shouting at your
Twalk.
Radio or your
yes.
device, saying, twockers, Lucy, twockers, T-W-O-C, not talkers. Walkers. Well, at least the people on the zebra crossing got the message and thought I was quite mad in the process. Okay, that's all I have to say on the matter. Doodles.
I know, I got a lot of people messaging me going, talking, it's talking. I said, I know now. It was, oh dear, yes. Sorry about that.
Right.
I got the sound right, just not the key bit.
Mm. You sounded a bit like me, getting all your letters and all sorts mixed up.
Did we, Brian kind of didn't really tell Rory off, did he?
Not at all. He seemed to be somewhat proud, the whole thing. That's the inference that I got. Look at my boy,
you know,
blah, blah, blah.
Well, he kind of told him, he said, it's not on, you know, and then said, you can't have the money from the shoot, then gave him the money from the shoot.
Mm.
But didn't seem to take it remotely seriously. At least David did. And actually said, no, you know, if you'd had an accident, that's what he was worried about.
I think Brian sees this as somewhat of a rite of passage that, of course, you're going to do something like this. And actually, he's secretly quite proud.
Yeah.
Mm. Chip off the old block and all of that.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I just going back to Emma's call briefly, I people are saying, oh, I don't like Lee. And he's just got the same voice as everyone else again. But... he does seem to genuinely like Helen. I don't think there's any
Absolutely. And he had a very deft touch with Henry, with the whole, you know, when didn't he karate chop Keir or something? There was something.
He pushed her out of the way
because
he wanted to help.
Yeah, and he dealt with that really, really well. I don't see how you can dislike him, you know, at all, how anybody can. He's done nothing to be disliked.
He's a bit bland, I suppose, which you could dislike him for. But he's only said about 4 sentences so far. Most of those are about Spider-Man, to be fair.
Exactly. And the one problem about the Archers and casting people to be actors in it is, let's be quite honest about it, it is from somewhat of a slightly indescript bit of the country, you know, south of Brum. Well, it is a slight confluence of accents. So you can have Brummy and you can have the West Country. But, you know, people are going to sound the same if they're supposed to be from that neck of the woods. They are.
Yeah, and also roughly the same age. So now we've got Lee, Toby, Rex, Tom. Did you know Tom is 37?
I did. No, I didn't. I know that the previous Tom was much younger than Kirsty. So when I spoke to Annabelle, when I interviewed her, she said that, not that it was an issue, but like first off, it felt a bit peculiar, you know, them getting together because he was at least 10 years plus younger.
But the character is supposed to be 37.
No, that I think I did know. Yeah. Though he does sound young to me. Not like a teenager,
but it's the way he behaves. Not.
But we've kind of gone through this, haven't we?
And he's only had 3 girlfriends.
Woman at the supermarket, Brenda, Kirsty. You're right. Goodness.
Poor Tom. Someone needs to buy him a fortnight in Ibiza, don't they? Blimey, let's get it out of the system.
So what do you reckon to our Natasha in terms of, forget all the professional stuff, but she absolutely was telling
Well, in my
Tom,
head, I think
she?
Of her as the Welsh woman from Torchwood, so she just looks like she's got that shaggy cut dark hair. And I think she's nice. I love her voice. I think she sounds very
Welsh.
She sounds very Welsh. She sounds very just calm and competent. She actually sounds like a Welsh version of Ruth, I think. I think she's got...
So she'll be no good with anything other than oven chips. Is that what you're saying?
Anything other than fruit. What have we got for tea? Juice, drink! I think fruit juice. I think she has got potential stayer written all over her.
Well, I hope so. And to me, it was very obvious. I think, to everybody, it's very obvious that she was giving Tom an amber light, wasn't she? She was saying, just bear with me. I've gone through this thing.
Yeah.
10 years. I've ended it, but that doesn't mean that it's easy for me. Just bear with me and we can maybe give this a little bit of a go. And, of course, Tom didn't pick up on any of that because the men never do in the Archers with anything other than Ian, maybe. He's a bit sensitive, but he's gone a bit rubbish recently. When's the last time we heard from Ian?
When he said to Adam, would you like some more bacon? And Adam went, I haven't got time.
With an exasperated sigh. Yes. All right. Shall we go to Toronto?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. It's Mary in Toronto, and hello. I'm not contrary on Twitter. I'm calling after listening to the latest Dumpy Tom, in which Lucy made a joke about made-up languages and the phrase, right you are, and then Mike Hatton's character count roundup, which I loved, gave the number of right you are's. Because I've recently been re-listening to Stephen Fry's reading of the unabridged Harry Potter books, and right you are comes up several times in the books. I think Hagrid says it quite a bit, but I'm pretty sure I've heard more down-to-earth or less wacky characters saying it. So I think it's not something I grew up with in the southeast of England, but it does seem to be a feature of some people's vocabulary. Or maybe J.K. Rowling is just a massive Archers fan. Who knows? Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Mm.
There were a few Right You Are's this week,
yes,
I noticed.
I did notice that, yes. I remembered the thing that I'd forgotten at the start of the show after I'd made a balls up and then we did our second take. Do you want to know what it was?
Yes.
Mike Hatton's turning out to be the silent star of Dum-de-Dum.
I know.
And I'm not so silent now that he's actually posting up once
started
a month.
Speaking.
Yeah.
We won't be able to shut him up now. It will be, no. It'll be like Ben Archer. I'll be in every muscling in every scene. Hello, it's me again.
It is kind of odd in a very lovely way that Mike Hatton was in effect our silent, wasn't he? So we always thanked him, but we never heard from him. But now we hear from him and he's like quite good and quite funny and maybe should be like doing the me bit on the show. So a big thumbs up to you, Mr. H. Anyway, as you were, Lucy.
Derek will start talking next. That would be worrying for all concerned.
Oh, yes. Our second silent. Right. We're 38 minutes in. I think we're doing really well. It actually sounds like this show is coming together considering naff all happened in Ambridge. Shall we go to Andrew Horn?
Yes.
All right, good.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's Andrew Horn here. I have 2 points for this week. One is Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
So this friends with benefits, strong, liberated, sexual young lady. Well, the mask is beginning to slip now, isn't it? It's not as easy as she thinks. And the green-eyed monster is peering through. Now, that is one thing, just to be a bit naive about it, and that would be forgivable. But actually, she's using the pretense of freedom as a way to control Tom. So as soon as she doesn't get her way, it's the, you know, put the padlock on the knickers, you're not coming near me. And it's a nasty little power kick, I think. So no, Hannah, stop. And then poor old Roy, his blind infatuation. He just can't see what's going on with Lexi. I'm sure there is a good reason why, that she's changed over the summer and that will come out. So we'll leave Lexi to one side. But she did say something very, very interesting, which is, you know, it's not what people say, it's as much what they don't say. Unfortunately, Roy is blind with his infatuation and just didn't pick up that that also referred to him. So I think poor old Roy, he's about to hit the bottom again. Anyway, I don't really have anything cheery to say, except the sun has come out after the rain here and I'm off to the memorial. So for the Memorial Sunday. Anyway, speak to you all soon. Bye.
He's very clever, Andrew Horn, isn't he?
Well, I didn't like what he said, though.
What, about control?
Yeah. I think I was with him up until he said, when she said, then she padlocks the knickers and says no. She didn't say, no, you bastard, how dare you? She just said, no, I've got plans, because she didn't. What the whole point of it is, just because she's been free and just because she's been sort of free and not playing games with Tom and saying, right, this, you know, this is friends with benefits, whatever, she's still allowed to change her mind and she's still allowed to not sleep with him when she wants.
No, spot on there. And actually, I didn't quite agree with that either when Andrew said that. But the thing of Tom actively forming an attachment with Natasha and then actually going to do something, then yes, that is all about control. All of a sudden, she wants to go to this Nuffield thing, the thing that she wasn't at all interested in. And even though none of us like her, this is making her somewhat of an interesting character, because we all kind of dislike her and she's playing somewhat of a very obvious kind of juvenile game. Which us listeners are obviously very privy to, and Tom is just, you know, blind to, deaf to, type of thing. So,
Tom is believing exactly. You know, she said to him, "I am utterly, utterly straightforward, and what I say to you is what I mean." Mm. So when I say I want a no strings relationship and I'm not interested in you, that is what I mean. So bless him, he's taken that as that's what she means then, and now she's going to go, aha, I did mean it, you bastard, which is, you know, really not fair. But she hasn't done that, to be fair to her. She's just said, no, I'm backing off for a bit, which is fine, you know.
Mm.
But the only wanting to go when she heard that Natasha was going and that involved getting dressed up, there's an element of sort of competitiveness there that I didn't really like.
An element? Oh, come on now. British understatement.
Oh, God. Now, what was that conversation between Lillian and Tony? That was the clumsiest bit of it. Was like people were carrying armchairs around with them. It was like, you know, do you know what I mean? Sort of, they said it once and you think, okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, she said, yes, it's the fine art of British understatement. And then they mentioned it two more times.
We were somehow,
I thought, you've battered this to death now. No. Give it up. Walk away.
There was somehow, it was supposed to somehow imply the closeness of siblings, wasn't it? And that they could have this kind of little bit of bonhomie or whatever the hell it was. But it was peculiar. It was peculiar.
But your conversations with your siblings are shorter than your conversations with everyone else because you use a sort of family shorthand. They're not more verbose.
Hmm. But getting back to the point I was going to make before.
Sorry.
Right.
Yes.
When's the last time you had a friends with benefits relationship?
I don't think I ever have.
Have you not? Modern woman like you.
What?
I said a modern woman like you. You know, back in your more carefree days before you had had your wonderful children.
No, because I think it's one of those things that, in theory, works. I think in reality, hugely doesn't. Mm.
There is always someone who is, even though you walk into it saying it's we're both friends, there's always somebody who is slightly more vulnerable than the other. Always.
The level of denial that people can go in, the level of denial that people can adopt in order to give themselves something that they're desperately craving and saying, no, it's fine. It really is fine. And it isn't. Is, you know, I just think it's staggering and how easily people can convince themselves through no fault of their own. You know, it's something they really want. And so therefore they're happy to sacrifice a lot to get it. But I think I'd be sacrificing too much.
Mm. I hear you. Now, I don't know how we've managed to get so far into this show. And we just had a brief cursory chat about the passing of Stan Lee. You managed, Lucy, to let me talk about it, but then make sure that I was mercifully short. So well done to you. Now, so what we should do is maybe have a sheep bleat right now, and then I'll say something like, it's going to be an advertising break if you're in one of the major markets of the podcasting world where our advertising agency can put an advert in and target it to you. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to say, if you live in a bit of the world where there's a large market for podcasting adverts, you might hear an advert now before we have a touch of million.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
G'day, everyone. Well, we started the week talking about the scene where Jim and Linda jostled for dominance. It was absolutely delicious. And I thought that Jim would win. I was incorrect. And we had a little chat about whether that competition is finally finished. And Sasha Manesh said, I really liked the way Jim tried to set the scene to get Linda into the best possible mood. Also, the back and forth of his title was hilarious. The best part of the episode, Linda needs a strong person to butt heads with. This is so much better than listening to the back and forth with Fallon about the fate or anyone else she's come up against. I hope Jim just goes about doing whatever he wants and Linda is left scrambling. There's lots more on that thread. Do encourage you to have a look. People, you are so funny, and that was a really great start to the week for us. We then went on to something slightly more serious because we wondered whether it's Hannah's place to change rosters while Neely's off sick. Or is she being a little provocative, we wondered. And I have to say that I have a different opinion to most people because I think if you are standing in for someone who's away, your job is to maintain what's happening. But I was not in the majority. Sasha Manesh again says, clears throat. I hate Hannah. Also, some listeners have said they think people disliking her are being unfair because she is a strong woman with a sexual appetite. Are we discounting Lillian, Alice, even, dare I say it, Kate, then? Any of those characters would fit that description, yet none of them would pick on Neil. The staffing decision Hannah made shows just how little she respects Neil. She should be holding down the fort. Is that an Americanism? Until Neil returns, not losing a worker. Yeah, and that is my point too, Sasha. I think she should be holding down the fort. And also, I think, as we discovered later in the week, she doesn't have compassion for people and how things might impact on their work. You know, 15 minutes here or there, as long as it's made up, who cares? And Sarah Passingham said, are we being shown a sort of female Rob? Not the same, but similarly controlling and destructive. Perhaps to put the record straight, that it isn't always men who are abusive or always men who are abused. She was certainly pretty displeased about Natasha being back in the scene this evening, despite her insistence that there was nothing emotional going on. And her encouraging Duncan to walk could be transferred aggression after not being able to control Tom. And she was proper shitty about refusing his invitation to his little school prize giving.
Proper shitty.
That's good. There's
something bubbling underneath. And it's all about to surface very soon. You mark my words. I has spoken. Well, I have to say, there was a bit during the week where he got a text and Hannah wanted to know, who was it and what did they say? And I thought, do you know what? Mm. If I was just a friend with benefits, I wouldn't care about their texts. I think she's a little more invested than she is letting on. But we then did go on to talk about Natasha because, honest to goodness, I thought she was as boring as bat poo. And I didn't think anybody could be as boring as Tom. And Martin Van Den Heuvel said, Brenda Kirsty and now HRH, the Duchess of Fruit Juice. What a way to go, Tom. And Lisa Wallace said she's super patronising as well. It's a toss-up between her and Hannah, who I dislike the most at the moment. But Janice Betson suggested that they are made for each other. Kat Wynn said, listening now and thinking exactly this, the only possible way she could have been in a relationship for 10 years was as a plot point. And we finished up the week talking at length. One more. We did talk about Lexi, who gave some really good advice to Roy, which is sometimes you need to listen or to understand what people are not saying. And I have to say, as a teacher, this is so true that students will often say something to me and I think that's not what you're really trying to tell me. And I then sort of flounder around in my mind thinking, oh, my God, what am I supposed to be understanding? So Kim Hunter-Shadel said, I just listened. Maybe not so simple. Maybe there are goings on back home with her family that she does not want to involve Roy in, and she is backing away. It was such a love story. It is hard to believe she's just dumping him. But I can't take much more awkwardness and nookie avoidance. So hopefully it will resolve soon. And Sean Coleman said, "Toodlepip, I don't think she's ever really wanted the relationship. I feel really sorry for Roy. But wow, Lexi's only back for 5 minutes and she has the measure of horrid Hannah." And there we are, back to Hannah again, who none of us love. We had also had a discussion about whether Hannah may have been premature in turning down Tom's invitation to go to the Nuffield talk. And that, of course, resolved itself later in the week, or started to resolve itself later in the week. And we finished up by talking about how Liz is coping and whether we had any suggestions to help her. Gretchen Anderson said, "I just can't be doing with her anymore. It's Geraldine's fault was the icing on the cake for me." Mm. Audrey Cameron wondered whether Lexi would be the one to save the business. And Paul Schler said, "Acute disabling anxiety. She needs an intervention and a leave of absence."
Yeah.
And yes. Paul Broomhead said, "I am still keeping fingers crossed that Freddie avoids any rooftop protests." Carol Hannavan, a regular contributor, says she's completely lost the plot. "I almost felt sorry for her today."
Yeah.
Almost. And Jim McClay suggested that Lizzie go and look to see if Freddie's got any happy pills left hiding in his room. So once again, lots and lots of robust fun and debate. Please join in. It will be Yokel Bear next week. But until we get together again, I say to you, hooroo.
Do you think sometimes we let our own prejudices really colour the way that we comment on the Archers, Lucy?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I know. I said...
But we're in no... Yes, this is a podcast. We're not exactly, you know, neutral, are we?
Because we didn't talk about Linda and Jimus at all, did we?
No.
Mm. So let's continue that now then. All right, so let's move on. tweets of the week, please.
It was quite a funny... I think it was quite a funny little bit, but that's all it was. It's the kind of stuff that they know that people like. So that's why they put it in. Tweets of the week. Yes, right. Brian Holding. "If Lexi was a vet, she'd be getting the bolt gun out about now." That's horrible. Matt Underwood. "Lee and Helen up the tree. STABBING. That's not very nice either. Dave Blake was musing on what the hell the noise was in the back of the tea rooms in one of the scenes. I could hear it as well, and I was thinking, what the hell's that? Someone said, is it someone having a fight? And he said, possibly. Could be group sex or three fat men doing some plastering. Hard to tell. Joe Hall said, "Peggy seems to have about 4 birthdays a year. Is she actually 30 but identifies as 90? And this is Tweet of the Week. Sally Ronaldson. "It's very rude. I apologise in advance. Roy has sniffed an opening at Lower Loxley."
Oh, that was good. Deliciously bad. My mum started listening to Dum De Dum.
Without listening to the Archers, the poor woman.
No, you know what? She liked you. So she's like, "Oh, I like that, Lucy. I think I'll give it a listen." I'll tell her to skip that tweet to the week, though. Oh, my mother wouldn't appreciate that joke at all. Yeah. Being a good Christian woman that she is. Anyway, right. So, folks, I think you've just about had your lot. You've had some inspired, discursive talk on the Archers, a thing that we love. You've had jokes and social commentary from Lucy, and you've had me linking to various calls, and you had caller inners. So I think we should just about start to wrap this up. So dumdum.com, go this got shop. I'm thinking maybe I should just like kill the forum on it, but, people, please tell me. The other thing to say is I am, I know this is an ongoing thing, right? But like Lucy, Map Corner, right? I really don't understand the hate that, you know, the 48% have for the
for Map Corner. For Map Corner, yeah.
You know, but anyway, just for Map Corner fans, and I know you are legion, I am working on that first episode. The other thing to say as well is that there is a tremendous, a heartwarming, moving Juicy Lucy walkie-talkie, which will be released at some point this week when I'm back home in the Bay Area. So listen,
it made me cry, that one.
Yes, well,
it made me cry editing it, and it made me cry doing it in the first place.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I've just given up doing interview shows, because Lucy's so much better than me. It's like, stop it, Royfield. Don't even think you can do it when there's masterful, insightful podcasts done by my podcasting co-host. So give that a listen. And if you haven't already subscribe to Lucy's Walkie Talkie. And I don't think she knows how to spell it. She spells it about 5 different ways. So just put in every imaginable spelling into Google and just put podcast and then Lucy Freeman.
Put in wanky tankies.
You will get there in the end. Now, I've been asking you for the last few weeks, off and on, to write us reviews on a podcast review choice. Now, if you've written them online, like Stitcher or TuneIn, we'd like to thank you for that. But I don't go on to them, so I don't know if the reviews are actually there. But if you have done that, really do thank you, because it means that people, when they're searching for something good to listen to, we're more likely to be higher up in the rankings, so then we get more listeners, and that's awesome. So Lucy's now going to read out a list of people who've written us reviews in the last few weeks, and I say big ups to you.
Do I have to include the man who doesn't like us?
Oh, why not? It's just funny.
Okay. Robin O'Reilly, Traveller 54321, Text Pistol 89, I'm Not Listening, Red Agnes, Bingley Baggy, Cobert, Pub Fan, Boing Boing, Bingley Baggy. I think this person is just having a laugh.
No, they're a fan of West Bromwich Albion. That's it's a Boing Boing, Baggies, Baggies, Boing Boing is what they're saying.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
So they're from the Midlands. I don't know. And I've never been able to understand the reason why the nickname of West Bromwich Albion is the Baggies, because people say it's because they used to wear baggy shorts. But in the 50s, everyone used to. So it makes no sense as the reason why they're the Baggies, but they are the Baggies. And Boing Boing Baggies is what they sing.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Blimey. Mm. Take That, Take Me, Bishak 69, Buddhist in Yorkshire, UK, Poochie Lavish, M... Jail, Cole 75, Pretty Fighter, Red Agnes, Inner Reality, Cantab Archers Fan, Jez at Bell, Miss Mega B1521, and Febrile Fox.
And Jezebel's my favourite.
Who says she loves he loves the lovely Robart.
Mm-hmm. In mm-hmm. caps.
Yeah. In caps. Yeah. Quit.
Loves me and you and the lovely in caps Robart. Yeah. Mm, yeah, well, awesome. All right, now, Patreon, folks, go there and you sign up for $2 a show, and it's awesome because you get extra content. Now, I did say this on this week's WDUM Extra. We're still trying to negotiate with Mr. Charles Collingwood exactly when we can do this. His people are speaking to my people, and then they have to then run this by Lucy's people, because Lucy has said in no uncertain terms that I'm not interviewing him by myself. She needs to be in on the action.
I don't have any people.
Well, I know.
I've got the dog.
What do you mean you do have people? You have your daughter just like come in. You've got people there. She's been avoiding
not that could negotiate off. With Brian Aldrich.
Mm, true that. Anyway, the whole point is that negotiations are happening at a rapid pace, but it's very complex. So hold tight, it will happen. But keep your appetites whetted. This week you've had Tim Bentinck back on again, and I think it's a lovely chat. We had a really nice chat about the world of being a jobbing actor away from the Archers, and just really how actually good he is at his craft. So anyway, well, that's just a long-winded way of saying go to patreon.com, go sign up for $2 a show, and you get extra content as of when actors of the Archers basically want to come on. Which is more often than you'd think. Anyway, now, remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website, which is, of course, dumdum.com, or you can call us on 0203 0313 105, just like Emma did. in Germany. And that way you can leave us a message on an ordinary phone. Now, on social media, you can find us first off on Twitter, where we are at DumDeeDum. Lucy is at?
At Lucy V. Freeman.
I, Royfield, can be found at Royfield. And of course, then there is Robert, who is at Naked Fingers. Now, on Facebook, simply type in DumDeeDum and you'll find Millie Bell with the spoon and Yokel Bear there. And I quite like, I'm not really an active member of the Facebook group because I'm a bit rubbish on Facebook. And I know, Lucy, you don't touch it with a barge pole. Facebook, that is, not just our Facebook group. Witherspoon does a rather nice thing where every Saturday he does a non-Archer related post. And so you get pictures of the Upper East Side or wherever the heck. And it's all kind of good. And it's not just photos. It's kind of like comments on bits and pieces and stuff. So folks, I need to kind of wrap this up rather quickly because I'm about to jump on a plane to go back to San Francisco from Toronto. And my daughter is home on lunch and the mom's just come up to say, your daughter's going to go back to school. So I need to quickly say goodbye. And so that's goodbye from me.
Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.